ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जाय मुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 46 वर्स 14 एंड 15। तमागतं समागम्य कृष्णस्यानुचरं प्रियं नन्दप्रीतः परिस्वज्य वासुदेवधियार्चयत्। तमागतं समागम्य कृष्णस्यानुचरं प्रियं नन्दप्रीतपरिस्वज्य वासुदेवधियार्चयत्। तमागतं समागम्य कृष्णस्यानुचरं प्रियं नन्दप्रीतपरिस्वज्य वासुदेव दियार्चयत्। तमागतं समागम्य वासुदेव दियार्चयत्। नन्दप्रीतपरिस्वज्य वसुदेवदियाचय समागतं समागम्य कृष्णस्यानुचरं प्रियं नन्दप्रीतपरिस्वज्य वासुदेव।
माताजी
समागतं समागम्य कृष्णस्यानुचरं प्रियं नन्दप्रीतपरिस्वच्य वासुदेवदियार्चर।
तं हिम उद्धव आगतं अराइव्ड समागम्य approaching krishnasya of krishna anucharam the follower priyam dear nandah nand maharaj pritah happy parisvajya embracing vasudev dhiya thinking of lord vasudev Archayat, worshipped. Translation and purport by the by the disciples of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As soon as Uddhav arrived in Nand Maharaj's home, Nand came forward to meet him. The cowherd king embraced him in great happiness and worshipped him as non-different from Lord Vasudev. Purport. Uddhava looked just like Nanda's son Krishna and gave pleasure to anyone who saw him. Thus, although Nanda was absorbed in thoughts of separation from Krishna, when he saw Uddhava coming towards his house, he became aware of external events and eagerly went out to embrace his exalted visitor. We'll read text 15. भोजितं परमानेन संविष्टं कशिपो सुखं गतश्रमं पर्यप्रच्छत् पादसंवाहनादिभि.
Translation: After Uddhava had eaten first-class food, been seated comfortably on a bed, and been relieved of his fatigue by a foot massage and other means, Nanda inquired from him as follows.
Purport: Srila Jiva Goswami mentions that Nanda had a servant massage Uddhava's feet, since Uddhava was Nanda's nephew.
Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjanashalakaya चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं. वन्देहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सगणारघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश. हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते. तप्त कांचन गौरांगी शिरादे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीनिति नामिने. नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंदा. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे. हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे. हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे. हरे राम 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 हरे हरे.
हरे कृष्णा. As soon as Uddhav arrived at Nanda Maharaj's home, Nanda came forward to meet him. The cowherd king embraced him in great happiness and worshipped him as non-different from Lord Vasudev. After Uddhava had eaten first-class food, been seated comfortably on a bed, and been relieved of his fatigue by a foot massage and other means, Nanda inquired from him as follows. Hare Krishna. So, just when chanting the prayers Jai Radha Madhav, so I was just suddenly a thought struck me that all the names of Krishna that I mentioned in this prayer are actually about his pastimes in Vrindavan. You know, we say Jai Radha Madhav, Kunja Bihari, Gopi Janavallava, Giri Varadhari, Yashoda Nandana, Vraja Jana, Ranjana, Yamuna Tira Vanachari. And we are going to start discussing about a topic where the Lord is no longer in Vrindavan. And it's a topic which is very, very high topic, speaking about the separation that the pure devotees of Vrindavan experience in the absence of Lord Krishna, in the physical absence of Lord Krishna. And it's again a very difficult topic for someone who does not have any, for, you know, many of us who do not have any love for Krishna. We have not even the semblance of any love for Krishna, and then to speak about what is separation is very difficult, because you don't know what the presence of something is, then speaking of its absence really has not much value. But this is just, fortunately for me, this is just the start of the topic, and I don't have to speak about the emotions of Nanda Maharaj and all the Vrajavasis. Today's verse, we are speaking about the arrival of Uddhava. He has just arrived in Vrindavan on the order of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna basically inspires him, tells him that you please go and you speak to the Vrajavasis, you console them, you pacify them, and therefore Uddhava has come to Vrindavan, and he has just arrived. So this verse speaks about his arrival, and Uddhava is actually a very close associate of Lord Krishna, as probably we discussed. He was a cousin, first cousin of Lord Krishna. He was a great disciple of Brihaspati. So he was, on his own also, he was a very accomplished person, a disciple of Brihaspati, great scholar. And he even looked like Krishna. Even his physical appearance was very much like Krishna. So he was sent on a very difficult but very important mission, as mentioned by Prabhuji in his lecture yesterday. That a very difficult mission, and he was sent as the pioneer, the first person to come and give the message of Lord Krishna to the Vrajavasis to pacify their hearts, because they were completely submerged in an ocean of separation from Lord Krishna. So this is what these two verses speak about, how Uddhava, when he met with Nanda Maharaj, it's described that Nanda Maharaj was, day before yesterday, Giriraj Prabhu also spoke very beautifully about the emotions of the devotees when they are separated from Krishna. I particularly liked the point where he spoke about how initially when you get hurt, you know, when some truck hits you or something, for a second, you become numb, you don't feel anything. But then after the first abhas, then the feeling sinks in that you have been hit. After the initial trauma is gone, then the pain starts sinking in, and it becomes more and more painful, becomes more and more intense. So this was the pain of separation that was being felt by the Brajavasis, and there is no easy way to describe, because if you are really very close to somebody in the material world also, when you are very close to somebody and you lose that person, then there is obviously grief. But if that person is a reservoir of all good qualities, who is extremely beautiful, who is all knowledgeable, who has all strength, who has all opulences that one can think of, whose heart attracts not just the parents but attracts the heart of everyone who he comes in contact with, he has saved the lives of the Vrajavasis on so many occasions. As you know, going forward Uddhava will speak about these pastimes when they recount the pastimes of Lord Krishna in front of Uddhava. So many things that are there to attract the hearts of the Vrajavasis to Krishna, and he's given them such intense love, and then suddenly, very abruptly, he's gone from their lives. And as we know, he doesn't come back. So, you know, the pain of separation from someone who is so wonderful, someone who is so filled with such loving qualities and who has given so much love. There are many people who are wonderful. There are many people who are beautiful. There are many people who have great qualities. But then very often we do not have the fortune of reciprocating with such a person. We may not have the great fortune of really interacting with that person or receiving that person's love even less. It's very unlikely, because in the material world everyone has so many things to do, everyone is so busy, everyone has so many services. So sometimes even if you want to reciprocate with a person you love, you are unable to do it. It's just that your responsibilities, you know, overwhelm you sometimes, and you forget what really matters, you forget who really matters. You're not able to give that time. But here it is Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had the capacity to unlimitedly reciprocate with everyone in Vraja as though he's reciprocating with only them. That kind of deep loving reciprocation Krishna showed towards all the Vrajavasis, and then it was gone. Somewhat like Srila Prabhupada, when he was on the planet, he also for 12 years he was here on the planet with, you know, after the ISKCON movement was started. He was here of course for 82 years, but when the ISKCON movement was started between 1965 and 1977, just 12 years of very very intense association and very loving service that he gave to all his disciples. So naturally those disciples, the immediate disciples of Srila Prabhupada, yes, even we as his grand disciples may have some abhas, some feeling of what it means to be separated from Srila Prabhupada, but it's not that deep a feeling. But the immediate disciples of Srila Prabhupada have that feeling because they received that love, they received that intense association of Srila Prabhupada, and therefore when it went away, when that association went away, when Srila Prabhupada left the material planet, suddenly there was a tremendous void that it left in the hearts of many devotees. But as many of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada have themselves said, that it was their remembrance of Srila Prabhupada, it was their service to Srila Prabhupada that kept them always connected with Srila Prabhupada. He never left their heart, he was always there. So the pure devotees of the Lord are always immersed. They are always immersed on the meditation of the Lord's name, form, qualities, pastimes and his paraphernalia. So Srila Prabhupada mentions in the Krishna book a very nice statement. He says, those in the most exalted position of devotional service and ecstasy can live with Krishna always by remembering his pastimes. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that how was it possible that the Vrajvasis were able to sustain their lives? You know, in the very next few verses, or actually the verse that Giriraj Prabhu spoke, you know, he mentioned that the Vrajvasis, the gopis and the Vrajvasis were able to sustain their lives just on the hope that Krishna is going to come back. He has promised that he will come. He'll just finish some business in Mathura, because he has been separated from his parents for such a long time, so naturally I have to spend some time, then I will come back. So just on the hope that Krishna will come back and the remembrance of his loving reciprocation, his sweet pastimes in Vrindavan, just by these two things they somehow stayed alive. They never gave up their lives, they continued doing what they were doing, but immersed in an ocean of separation from him. But Srila Prabhupada mentions that such devotees, the exalted position of devotional service and ecstasy, they can live with Krishna always. Even if they were physically separated from Krishna, they were able to live with Krishna always just by remembering his pastimes. So that is what gave satisfaction to them even when they were separated from him. Even the fact that they were separation and they were in separation from him and they were in great pain because of the separation, still by remembering the Lord, by meditating on his pastimes, we can experience, even in our day-to-day lives, we can experience the feeling, we can experience the presence of the Lord. In another purport of the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, very beautifully, Krishna is speaking about Karma Yoga, and Karma Yoga, action and Krishna consciousness. And there, Srila Prabhupada in one of the purports, he mentions very beautifully that if we take shelter of the process of devotional service, we really take shelter. sincerely to the best of our ability, if we are chanting the holy names, we are associating with the devotees, we are reading scripture, we are worshipping the Supreme Lord, we are honoring Prasad, with sincerity, with attention, and genuinely with an effort to please the Lord, if we are engaging in devotional service, then he says that even in our sphere of activity, very interesting the words he uses, he says, even in our current sphere of activity, we can experience the presence of Krishna. Even in what we are doing, we may be working in some office, we may be a homemaker, we may be a student, we may be anything, but we can experience the presence of Krishna even in our present sphere of activity. If we are sincerely following the process of devotional service, it will happen. It may not happen immediately, it may take some time, but certainly if we are, you know, as we thicken our Krishna consciousness, as some pure devotees say, that as the movement grows, at some point we need to boil the milk. We keep growing the movement, but we need to keep boiling the milk. Boiling the milk means what? It means thickening our devotional service, making it thicker, gaadha, more concentrated, removing all the anarthas, removing all the unnecessary things that consume our time and energy, and thickening our devotional service. If we do that, ultimately we will be able to experience Krishna's presence in everything that we do. In the day-to-day activities, we will be able to experience Krishna's presence. This is Prabhupada's promise to us. So the devotees, the pure devotees of the Lord, are like this. They are always entranced, they are always engaged in the service of the Lord, always engaged in meditation on the pastimes of the Lord, even while they are doing their day-to-day activities. Like there is the example given of the South Indian Brahmana in the Nectar of Devotion, who was extremely poor. He did not have any material assets. And he was a very genuine devotee of the Lord, but no material assets, very, very poor. He had nothing by which he could worship the Lord in a very nice way. So one day while he was attending a satsang, he heard this, someone's mentioning this, that if you just meditate on the Lord and in the mind you offer something auspicious to the Lord accepts it. The Lord is pleased even by this service. So the Brahmana was very pleased. He came back. He decided, this is wonderful. Let me start offering very nice things to the Lord. So in his mind he had a beautiful deity of the Lord. And in his mind he started beautifully dressing the Lord. He dressed beautiful garments, he put beautiful jewelry. He was offering sandalwood pulp, nice fragrant flowers. And when it came to offering water, arghyam, to the Lord, rather than, you know, putting the finger inside the kalash and purifying the water by inviting the holy rivers, he in his mind thought that anyway I am offering in my mind, so why not I go myself? So in his mind he took beautiful gold pots, nothing less. Gold pots he took. With those gold pots he first went to the Ganges, then to the Yamuna, then the Narmada, the Kaveri, Godavari, you know, he went to all the holy rivers and collected water in those gold pots and brought it, and with this he started worshipping the Lord. So very satisfied, in his heart he was extremely satisfied. Though he did not have a deity, he did not have anything, but in his mind he was worshipping the Lord with such satisfaction, he was blissful, he was ecstatic. And then one day he decided to offer sweet rice to the Lord. So in his mind, again, he did not have any means to offer sweet rice. So in his mind, he went and brought best quality rice, wonderful milk and sugar, and he started preparing it. And in his mind, he was mixing it and mixing it and mixing it and making it very nice and sweet. And as he was doing this, after it was done, he was thinking in his mind that when we offer sweet rice to the Lord, it is nice if it can be cold, little cool. You know, sweet rice tastes even better when it is cool. Like what sweet rice is offered to the Supreme Lord in the morning. If you have had that, when it is really cool, it is very, very ecstatic. There is nothing nicer than that. I remember once I gave it to my colleague in office. I had taken it. I requested Gaur Gadadhar Prabhu, packed it in one big box and I took it to my office. And when people had it, you know, of course, most people, when you tell them give prasad, they take little, you know, just one small teaspoon, little bit. So I had carried a big dabba, you know, lots of sweet rice I had carried. So when that sweet rice, when I gave them, they put it in their mouth, it was as though something hit them. It's like, it just exploded in their mouth, you know, just took off, they took off. And they said, what is this? Give me some more, you know. And in 5 minutes, it was over. So this ecstatic sweet rice is what this Brahmana wanted to prepare for the Lord. He was thinking, let it cool down a little bit and then I will offer it to the Lord. So after some time, he wanted to touch it to see has it cooled down. So when he touched it, it was so hot still that he burnt his finger. And he kind of recoiled in because of the heat of the kheer. And he came out of his meditation. And then when he saw his finger was burnt. And he was astonished that what is this? Even he didn't realize what has happened. He was astonished. And in Vaikuntha, Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan was laughing. Suddenly he started laughing. And Mother Lakshmi, she saw Lord Narayan, who is always very, very sober and never, you know, very easily betrays any expressions. Suddenly he's laughing. So she asked him, my Lord, please explain to me what is this? So then Lord Narayan tells his the Vaikunthavasis, you please go and get him immediately. Get this Brahmana immediately to Vaikuntha. So they bring him to Vaikuntha, and then the Lord explains that this is what this Brahmana, this is his level of meditation on me, that in his meditation he touched something and he got burnt by it. So this is the level of meditation of a pure devotee. They are always engrossed in thinking about Krishna. They are always engrossed in thinking about how I can serve Krishna, how can I please Krishna. And anything that they see in the material world only reminds them of Krishna. This is our unfortunate situation, that even when we see Krishna, we think of something else. But the devotees, the pure devotees of the Lord, when they see anything that reminds them of Krishna, yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam, whatever they see that is fantastic, beautiful, very opulent, it actually reminds them of Krishna. Here the example of Mukunda Sarkar, when he was serving Muslim king, when he was seeing the king, and the king was being fanned with the peacock chamara, just by seeing the peacock feather, Mukunda Sarkar was immediately reminded of Krishna, and in his deep remembrance of Krishna, he immediately fell unconscious. Here the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Jagannath Puri, as it is mentioned in the Antilila, because of his intense separation from Krishna, he was going more and more deeper into the whirlpool of separation from Krishna, getting completely sucked into that whirlpool of separation from Krishna. And in that bhava that Lord Chaitanya was, whatever he saw reminded him only of Krishna, of Vrindavan. He would see a sand dune and he would mistake it for Govardhan. He would see the sea and he would think that this is Yamuna, and he would dive into the Yamuna, thinking that I'll be able to see the boat pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So such was the absorption, such is the absorption of the pure devotee, that no matter what they see, they are reminded of Krishna. And in this particular verse, if you see, the experience that Nanda Maharaj has when he sees Uddhava. So Uddhava, as we started, is a close associate of the Lord, and he even looked like the Lord. He had even the qualities of the Lord. So when Nanda Maharaj sees him, immediately, he is actually at that point of time, as it is described in this verse, Nanda Maharaj was actually, he was absorbed in meditation on Krishna. But immediately when he sees Uddhava, he kind of comes out of his reverie. He is meditating on Krishna in separation from him. But when he sees the devotee, the pure devotee of the Lord Uddhava coming, immediately he kind of leaves his sorrow behind and he comes and welcomes him. So, what is it about the devotees that actually gives us this experience? That association of the devotees of the Lord, the association of the pure devotees of the Lord, actually gives us experience of associating with the Lord Himself. It is not that when we associate with the pure devotees, oh, they are devotees and that is the Lord. But just associating for even a moment with the pure devotee of the Lord gives us that abhas, gives us that experience of actually what it means to associate with the Supreme Lord. It gives us the, as it is mentioned here, gives pleasure to all those who see them. When we see a pure devotee of the Lord, immediately our heart jumps with joy. Because just the experience of seeing them is so wonderful. Their appearance, their physical appearance also reminds us of the Lord. When we see a pure devotee, just seeing their tilak, you know, seeing their tilak, seeing their effulgent, tejasvi face, seeing their, you know, their compassionate glance, when they just glance upon us in a compassionate manner, just that glance, that physical appearance of the pure devotee can remind us of Krishna. That sometimes a very mundane thing that a pure devotee does also attracts the hearts of the conditioned souls. I remember once there was one devotee who was one disciple of Srila Prabhupada was mentioning that when he saw Srila Prabhupada, one devotee mentioned that he just saw Srila Prabhupada who had just come out after a massage and his body was looking completely golden. His body was just looking golden completely. Just the sight of that, and then he said, that's it, I have to surrender. Then another devotee mentioned that Srila Prabhupada was actually eating oranges. And every time Srila Prabhupada would pop an orange piece, you know, he would break the orange, he would pop it into his mouth, and he would suck on that orange, chew it, and then he would spit out the seed of the orange. And he would spit out the seed of the orange, it would hit the wall and fall into the dustbin. Every time he would spit it out, it would hit the wall and fall into the dustbin. And just this sight was enough. He was completely, you know, just won over by Srila Prabhupada, just by seeing this one thing. Because it is the sight of the pure devotee who is so intimately connected with Krishna that the mercy of, you know, the Supreme Lord is just filled inside that person. It's just filled, it's just oozing out. And if a fortunate soul comes in contact with that pure devotee, just by that small contact, the mercy of the Supreme Lord is like chidka gaya uske upar. It's like sprinkled on that person. That person then receives the ecstatic, you know, mercy of the Supreme Lord. I remember one more disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He gave a very, very beautiful lecture, very inspiring Sunday feast lecture. And after the lecture was over, he asked, are there any questions? And as is the practice, whenever any Srila Prabhupada disciple comes, the devotees ask a question that, can you tell us about your experience of meeting Srila Prabhupada? What were the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada that you saw? So he got a very distant look in his eyes, and with great humility he said that I never had the opportunity to meet Srila Prabhupada in my life. I never met Srila Prabhupada. He didn't even speak a word to me. He said, the only experience I have of Srila Prabhupada's interaction with me was that once he glanced at me. You know, he said that I'd just come to the program for, you know, first few times or whatever, and Srila Prabhupada glanced at me. That one glance kept him in Krishna consciousness for 35 years. So, we may find this a little exotic and amazing, but it's a fact that it is because these pure devotees have those attributes of the Supreme Lord of, you know, the beauty, the attraction. You know, physically one may have physical beauty or not have, but because they are so deeply connected with Krishna, the beauty of Krishna shines through. And one glance of that person is enough to attract the heart of the devotee. Then their words also, whatever the pure devotees of the Lord speak, they inspire us to surrender to Krishna. They remind us of Krishna's pastimes. So if you see the pure devotees of the Lord, they will never engage in any mundane talk. Even amongst devotees, there is a tendency, especially when there are close friends, very close friends, there is a tendency to kind of deviate, not kind of, very seriously deviate from Krishna consciousness and start talking about day-to-day topics. So how is your job going? How is the economy? Modi Sarkar, Abki Bar Modi Sarkar. And we get into, you know, these conversations and they kind of overtake our Krishna consciousness. But if you see a pure devotee of the Lord or an advanced devotee of the Lord, such persons, even if we go into the mundane, they have this tendency to just keep bringing us back to the lotus feet of Krishna. No matter what topic you open with them, somehow or the other, it comes back to Krishna. They keep reminding us of the Supreme Lord by their words. They inspire us to always surrender to Krishna. Any pure devotee, when we associate with them, even if it is for a moment, that moment's association will take us that one step closer to Krishna. They will always inspire us to take that one small step. If you have already taken many steps towards Krishna, by that one moment's association that they give you, they inspire you to take the next step. Don't stand where you are. Take the next step. So this is the quality of a devotee, that they are always inspiring us to make progress in Krishna consciousness by their words. Similarly, their behavior, their achar, the way they behave, their behavior also reminds us of the Lord's qualities. So we spoke about their appearance, we spoke about their words, their behavior also. Just the way that the pure devotees conduct themselves, that can remind us of Krishna. We don't need to go very far. Even in Shishi Radha Gopinath temple, we are able to experience what it means to experience the Lord. We are not, because we have no devotion in our hearts, we are filled with so many anarthas, we are not able to really experience the Lord even when He is standing before us. Even Shishi Radha Gopinath, when they are standing here and very lovingly glancing upon us, we are not able to experience. We, somewhere in the deep recesses of our heart, we are dreaming and hoping, maybe I could see some movement, the Lord, maybe His eyes will move for a second and I'll see Him. And we are very fascinated by these things. I remember a few months back, there was a photograph that came of, Delhi temple or something. I don't remember which temple it was. There was a photo, two photographs came of Delhi temple, where they said, Krishna's Tirchi Nazar. Okay, so it came on WhatsApp to everybody. I don't know, everyone saw it. But it showed the Lord's two photos taken within quick succession of each other. In one photo, the Lord is glancing at Srimati Radharani. His eyes are tirchi nazar towards Srimati Radharani. And in the next photo, he is again looking forward, straight at the devotees. So these two photos went viral. Suddenly they went all over, WhatsApp, Facebook, and everyone was sharing this photo. See, the Lord is glancing, So we are all hungry for that glance of the Lord. We are all thinking the Lord is glancing upon us, but still you are thinking, Lord, little extra, little bit more. So we are all hungry for that association of the Lord. And that association we are able to experience in the association of devotees. By their behavior, ever dignified. If you see, the advanced devotees are always dignified in their behavior. They will never be very flippant in their talk. They will never, speak excess. They will always speak very heavy, very grave. They'll be very grave in their behavior. Even when they are humorous. Even when they are humorous in what they are saying. Even when they are making us laugh. Even that laughter is connected with Krishna. I remember once His Holiness Radhan Maharaj had given a lecture on the pastime of Dantavakra being killed. Srimad Bhagavatam class over here, many years back. And I remember the whole audience at one point were in tears, laughing. Just the way Maharaj was describing that pastime, everyone was laughing and laughing, pet pakad ke hasna, jaise bolte na, that way people were laughing and laughing. And Maharaj was, with his expression, he was also smiling, but everyone was just in splits of laughter. And then after that was over, again he brings us back, okay, you are entertained, now come back to the lotus feet of Lord Balram. So they are very grave, even while they are, while they may make us laugh, while they may encourage us, they may speak loving words to encourage us in our spiritual life, but themselves, they have this demeanor of always being grave and very serious, very dignified. And then, very compassionate, like the Supreme Lord, Krishna is an embodiment of compassion. He is always merciful. No matter how many mistakes we have made in Krishna consciousness, we are still here. He has not let us go. We have let go of Him hundreds of times, thousands of times, millions of times we have let go of Krishna. While we are chanting our holy names, we are holding the beads, but we are let go. You know, physically we don't let go of the bead. Gir gaya to aur ek round aa jayega. You know, very carefully we are holding the beads. Physically we are holding the beads, but mentally we have let go of Krishna completely. Completely inattentive. But Krishna never lets go of us. He is ever compassionate, our ever will wisher, who is always there with us in our heart as the Paramatma, always there to give us the right advice, always encouraging us when we take the right steps. Very compassionate. That is the nature of a pure devotee. So when we see the compassion, you know, coming from a pure devotee, that compassion again reminds us of Krishna. Or it gives us an experience of Krishna. And a pure devotee is very loving. They are very loving. They are not just compassionate from a distance. Whenever they get an opportunity, they give us love. They give us something which we can take away with us. They give us that experience of feeling valued. Everyone in this world, while we may say we don't want recognition, we may say, but somewhere in our heart, we want little bit of reciprocation, little bit of recognition. We want that feeling that I am valued by somebody. Somebody thinks that, you know, okay, this person is a nice person. So when the Lord reciprocates with any devotee, He gives that feeling that, oh, you are the best devotee. Srimati Radharani, when she recommends to the Supreme Lord, she says, this is best devotee, is better than me also. So that is her reciprocation, that is her eternal compassionate nature, her loving nature. And the devotees of the Lord also have that kind of love for the devotees. It's not just compassion, but it is also love. When we see these devotees, when we see such a devotee, we are reminded of the times, or at least we should be reminded of the times that we have spent together in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes in our Krishna consciousness, we may go through, you know, ups and downs. It is always, you know, like a sine wave. Sine wave? Nee, what is that? Sinusoidal wave, yeah. So it's like a sinusoidal wave, up and down, up and down. So that experience that we have of ups and downs in Krishna consciousness, we should not be very complacent about it. We should make efforts that even if it is sinusoidal in the upward direction. it is not horizontal or it is going downward sinusoidal. It should be sinusoidal in the upward direction. And it is the experiences of our association with the devotees that give us that fillip, that push, which gives us, you know, takes us to the next level. And whenever we see a particular devotee who has given us something, not physically, maybe physically, maybe just by sweet words, maybe by serving together, maybe by assisting us in our times of difficulty, whatever they have done, we should retain those memories in our heart. We should tell others about it. Don't keep it in your heart, because when we tell 10 people about it, then it becomes very pakka, you know. Otherwise, sometimes an experience happens, a moment a drop of nectar falls upon us. Drops of nectar are continuously falling, actually. If you really look for it, Krishna is constantly sprinkling those drops of nectar upon us. But we don't tend to hold on to those drops. When someone does something wonderful to us, does something wonderful for us, we tend to forget. We may remember, you know, vaguely we may remember, but we tend to forget it. When we tell others, we remember. I'll give you an example, like His Grace Radhesham Prabhu. Everyone knows Radhesham Prabhu, pure devotee, super excellent Vaishnava, who has created this wonderful congregation in Pune and is just spreading Krishna consciousness across. So, but also leader of a congregation, great, you know, at that position, leader of a congregation. I remember once we had gone for Vrindavan Yatra to that temple. I forgot the temple, name of the temple, where the tongue of the Lord is there, you know, where it got cut and it was bleeding. What is that? Anyone remembers? Near that temple, so we had all the devotees had gone there, the long queue. And when we were coming back, I saw Radhesham Prabhu distributing Mahaprasad to some devotees. He had some Mahaprasad in his hand and he was giving everybody. So I also went, Prabhuji, can I have some Mahaprasad? I said, oh, I'm sorry, Mahaprasad is over. You know, he said, I'm so sorry, Mahaprasad is over. And I said, no problem, Prabhuji. And I continued walking. Then, after some time, and this is many years back, I'm talking of some 16, 17 years back, I was just new in Krishna consciousness, my first yatra probably. And suddenly, after some time, I heard Radhesham Prabhu calling out to me, Prabhu, Prabhu, please wait, please wait. So I looked behind, and Radhesham Prabhu said, Roji, I went and brought some more prasad for you. So he, actually, when he saw that I wanted Mahaprasad, and it was over, he went all the way back to the temple, ran all the way back to the temple, got some more Mahaprasad, ran all the way back, located me in a crowd of whatever 1500 devotees and gave me that Mahaprasad. Now that, it's not a life-changing moment, but it changed my perception about Radhesham Prabhu forever. Forever that is imprinted in my heart, because that moment, that sacrifice that he made, he didn't need to do it. You know, I wouldn't have felt bad if he hadn't done this, because I thought, yeah, Mahaprasad got over, just my bad luck. But he went all the way out of his way. A great leader of a congregation goes all the way there, gets Mahaprasad and comes and gives it. What an experience, you know, which you will always remember for the rest of your life. So whenever I see Radhesham Prabhu, he may not remember, but I will always remember this. I will always remember the merciful and compassionate nature of a devotee. So like this, these moments that we have had in Krishna consciousness, these are the moments that give us inspiration, that help us, you know, to remember Krishna. So devotee, however afflicted we may be by the tribulations of the material world is not a nice place, we all know that, there's so much misery, there's so many problems. But however afflicted we may be by the tribulations of the material world, meeting with Vaishnavas is always a pleasurable event. Because of these reasons, because they remind us of Krishna. Whenever we see, and it is for both sides, it's not just for us because we are meeting. You know, the other Vaishnava is equally pleased to meet us. That happiness that, you know, sometimes when they are going in a train and suddenly you see someone with a bead bag in their hand, you feel so happy, don't you? Because you are reminded of Krishna for that moment. You have been thinking about miserable experience in the train and then suddenly you see a Vaishnava. Such a pleasurable experience. I remember my mother, when she was in the hospital, she was in pain, she was miserable. But whenever Vaishnavas would come to see her, her face would light up. She would be very, very happy. So, the culture, you know, in these two verses actually, in one sense, I am coming to the verse finally in the last 2 minutes of lecture. The culture of how to receive elevated Vaishnavas. You know, we spoke about how Vaishnavas, when we see them, how they remind us of Krishna. But the culture of how to receive an elevated Vaishnava, when we receive them, is mentioned in these two verses. Very beautifully. Even though Nanda Maharaj was himself immersed in an ocean of separation, we may also be in complete misery at all points of time because of what is going on in our day-to-day lives. We may be miserable, but when an elevated Vaishnava visits us or comes before us, this is how we have to receive them. Drop everything and greet them. Whatever you are doing, you know, Nanda Maharaj just dropped everything, came out and embraced immediately, you know, this wonderful Vaishnava who had come to meet him. He immediately dropped everything and received him. Of course, we read that depending on how the Vaishnava, what kind of Vaishnava we are receiving, there are different ways of reciprocation. So Nanda Maharaj, because Uddhava was like a nephew, he embraced him out of love. We should worship them as non-different from the Lord. You know, as it is described, the pure devotees of the Lord, while they are not the Lord, but we worship them like they are the Supreme Lord. We worship Guru like He is the Supreme Lord. He is not, but He is a pure representative of the Supreme Lord. So we worship Him like the Lord. Feed them. You know, as it is described, he was fed very nice prasad. Seat them comfortably. massage their lotus feet if they give us an opportunity to do that. Massage their lotus feet and then humbly inquire from them. So after doing all these things, then Nanda Maharaj starts speaking to Uddhava and inquires from him about the, you know, about the well-being of Krishna. Does Krishna still remember us? Does he still remember the past times that he had? So now in the coming verses, Uddhava is going to speak about Krishna and Nanda Maharaj is going to ask him. But this is how we should receive a pure devotee. And Srila Prabhupada has actually built, as we say, you know, this world, he's built a home in this world where all of us can live. Whenever we as devotees, whenever we go to any temple, many of you would have had this experience. Now, I have traveled to other parts of the world. Whenever you go to any temple, any ISKCON temple outside India, the moment you go there, just the fact that you have a tilak kantimala, even better if you are wearing dhoti kurta and you have gone there, immediately you are accepted into the congregation. There is no question of who are you, where are you from, show me your passport, do you have a valid visa, you know, there is no question of any doubt or anything. The moment a Vaishnava comes in, he is greeted, welcomed, fed nicely and sometimes told you give lecture also. So it is so ecstatic that this, you know, in electronics we say plug and play. You know, you take a device, you just plug it into any laptop. The laptop immediately recognizes that this is a pen drive. You don't need to install. Earlier there has to be software. Remember, any device, if you connect it to your laptop, you have to first install the software and the drivers. Now nothing required. Just plug it in, the computer recognizes. However old the computer is, it recognizes this fellow. So, in the same way, whenever we go to any temple, ISKCON temple, we get the love, we get that, you know, immediate association of the devotees because of this wonderful institution that Srila Prabhupada has created. And with the association of the loving devotees of the Lord, we can get the association of the Supreme Lord. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any comments, questions? Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Gurudev ki jai.